Everyone fed? Yeah, everyone had coffee? Well, I'm loving that whoop. Right, this morning we're in Acts 2 because this morning is Pentecost Sunday. You knew that. And I've just realised that no one's actually read out the scripture that we're reading from. So I'm going to quickly give you a brief introduction. So this is from the NIV in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Sets the scene. I was reading this, and I mean, I read it to you just now, and that was quite quick, wasn't it? We can read the Bible really quickly and not actually take time to sit in it and think, hang on a minute, what's going on there? Like, what was happening around them at that time? What's the context? It's good to sit in the Bible. I was thinking about that and had an image of a hot tub. And if there's anything you take away from this that you should get a hot tub to read the Bible in, that's great, and I've done my job. So let's get into Jerusalem on that first day of Pentecost. And you've got the disciples waiting there for the Holy Spirit to come. And then verse 2, this probably might be on the screen. It reads like the blowing of a violent wind. If you were sitting there and just heard this random violent wind, we've all been in storms before, and heard this noise of wind, you'd start wondering what on earth was going on. And then after that, everyone gets set on fire. Literally. What is going on? I was thinking about that, and it took me back to the burning bush in Exodus 3. And Moses must have been standing there looking at this thing, thinking, okay, something's happening. Hi. Yeah. Then you get into verse 6, and everyone came running. Okay, so it's not just in my head. Because we end up with 3,000 plus people there who've all come running down the street to see what on earth is going on. And if you think about everything that's gone on in Jerusalem in the last, I don't know, month or so, surrounding the crucifixion, the resurrection, there's some seriously crazy stuff in there. Luke, Mark, and Matthew both say that when Jesus died on the cross, darkness came over the land. And that was at, what, 12, 3 o'clock in the daytime. That takes me back to Exodus as well, because darkness fell over the land of Egypt during the plagues. You would freak out. You would properly freak out if it got pitch dark, like now, wouldn't you? Besides that, Matthew goes on to say, it's almost like a subpoint, the earth shook, rocks split, and the tombs broke open. I would be going out of my mind with what's going on. This is front page news. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Everyone knows about this. So you've had all this stuff going on, and suddenly, hang on, something's happening again. It's getting windy. Let's run and find out what's going on. If you'd been waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up, this might be a little sign. Can we get that slide up? I can't see Nigel, but I know he's there somewhere. Thanks. So you get all of this, and then suddenly, all the disciples start speaking different languages. As if it didn't get weird enough already. On this map, you can't see the names of all the ancient places. Simon's going to like this bit. But there's 15 different languages or regions quoted in the Bible. You've got Parthia, Medes, the Elamites, Mesopotamia. All of that's in Iran. Iran is a big country. Judea, where they are then. Cappadocia, central Turkey, Pontus, the province of Asia, which is Roman but still in Turkey. Phrygia, also in Turkey, and Pamphylia. All of that is in Turkey, you can see up there. So straight away, you've got an area the size of the Mediterranean Sea, and random people in Jerusalem are speaking the languages who shouldn't have been able to. Egypt, Libya, that's the North African coast right there. Rome, Crete, Arabia. So just about everywhere on that map, these 15 uneducated people started just speaking the language fluently, and everyone around them in a crowd of 3,000 plus understood them. The Holy Spirit gave them every exact word in every language they needed in that moment. So then we come on to Peter, who gets up. And don't forget, he's just been filled up with the Holy Spirit. This uneducated fisherman from Galilee, which is a backwater in the whole of the known world. But the crucial thing is, this guy lived with Jesus and knew Jesus so well. He was one of Jesus' closest friends. He's lived with Jesus for 3 years. He's seen everything and believed it, because in Mark, he says to Jesus, "You are the Messiah." And now he's under this Holy Spirit outpouring. Everything he says to this massive crowd of people from every corner they could possibly think of is influenced by the Holy Spirit. He even quotes from Mark, I believe, "Even on my servants," and that's a quote from another prophet, "both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. They will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will show you wonders in the heavens above and on the earth below." Look around you. It's happening. Think back to everything that happened with the crucifixion and the resurrection as well. Blood, fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. Guys, it's happening around us. That's what Peter's getting up and saying. And I was trying to think, how is there something that we can compare this word of God to that he fills Peter with? Is there a modern day equivalent? And I might have come close. A number of us might know of the sermon by Shadrach Lockridge, which is a brilliant name, from the 70s, which someone managed to find the recording of, and they've made it into a little clip, which we're just going to play now. And I wonder if this is a modern day equivalent of Peter's preach, because this guy was filled with the Holy Spirit and he just starts saying this stuff. So as we listen to this over the next couple of minutes, just let the Holy Spirit stir in you this morning and take it as the Holy Spirit speaking through this guy. Can we play it?
The Bible says, "My king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords." That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Hey! That's my king. That's my king.
That is someone filled with the Spirit who just can't keep it in. Sorry, I don't know what God's doing. What does it look like for the Holy Spirit to speak through us and our lives? What does it look like for the Holy Spirit to speak through your testimony, through my testimony? This is what happened when I met Jesus. This is my King. This is who I know. I was going to do a discussion between people, but we're running out of time. But think about your testimony. Think about the moment you met Jesus for the first time. I was in Soul Survivor. I'd just come out of a boarding school after 3 years of hell. And I was standing there, and my eyes were closed, but I felt someone that close to me in front of my face. And I knew it was Jesus. And if we take our testimonies and start sharing them, what happens then? It goes out. It inspires the people around us. Your testimony is amazing. It's valuable. It's beautiful. And God made it. I think about some testimonies from today around church as well. The fellowship of this group of people, this church. Support when I've had some time off work because of an incident. People have come round me and I can say that's because of Jesus. Support for Henny and Bella, the staggering amount of money we've raised to help. The amount of money we've invested in our worship as well. All these testimonies of God's goodness and his faithfulness and who he is that we live out day to day. Daily events, the Debt Advice Center. How many lives is that touching? How many people are going to come out of that ministry? Babies and toddlers as well. How many people are going to come out of those ministries and say, I met Jesus. I met Jesus there. And I'm going to invite the worship team up to sort of flow out of this in worship, because if you think about your testimony and everything God has done for you and in you and wants to do in your life, worship's the only real response. And I'm going to pray over us from a bit of John as well. She's in John 15. So please just close your eyes if you feel happy to for a second and just sit in the Holy Spirit. Think about Peter and Lockridge when the Holy Spirit's fallen on them. They can't hold it in. They can't hold that testimony of this happened to me. I know this to be true. That's my King. They can't hold it in. What does your testimony look like if the Holy Spirit takes hold of it? And Jesus said that when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. God, I thank you that you've given us everything we need, exactly where, when, and how we've needed it. We thank you for our testimonies, those profound stories of what you've done in our lives. And I pray this morning that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and with your courage.